Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jed's in charge. I'm going on a bender.
Jed Hoyer.
People care so much about the Cubs. It's an honor to work for a team where the fans care that much.
Chicago Cubs president of baseball operations.
Jed Hoyer, man, what a story that is.
World Series champion general manager.
The key to this whole operation is going to be building that scouting and player development machine. The Cubs way.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
Jed Hoyer.
My thought on Craig, as I've always watched him against us, was the Bum Phillips quote where he says,
he can take his'ins and beat yourn's. And when he beats yourn's, okay, he can take yourn's and beat his'ins.
There's nothing wrong with Nico Horner. Nico's just got to keep grinding and all the hits are going to come.
Line drive, base hit, right field. Grichik up with it. Only one will score. And it is 3-2. The Cubs with the lead as Nico comes through.
Cubs win the ball game. And a big win for this Cubs ball club as they beat the Diamondbacks by a score of 3-2. What a ball game.
Jed Hoyer with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Love whenever we get to talk to the president of the Cubs, Jed Hoyer, on the Parkinson Spiegel Show. He's with us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Jed, thank you for the time, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well. I don't know if you know or remember, but we have Nico Horner on the show weekly. He was just on about 30 minutes ago. And,
good.
Yeah, and we told him that last night we're dubbing it the Nico game. I think that's a signature game for him.
No, he was great, and we didn't swing the bats at all, really, that whole game. And frankly, we've been struggling on this whole trip, and it was we needed a kind of a random play, like the scoring from second in the ninth, and then obviously like the big hit he came up with. We needed that big hit, so yeah, he sparked us last night, and you know, he's been scuffling a little bit to start the year, but I almost think sometimes it's a positive that you know there's gonna be guys that are hot and guys are cold at the same time. And I know that when some of these other guys cool off, I know Nico will get hot. And it's kind of nice to have that because it's sort of a matter of time until he gets going.
Are you worried about the offense overall? You mentioned it, but it's been scuffling, but I also feel like the quality of the bats have been good. And some guys have been aggressive as they should be in the zone. Like it seemed to be functioning well, if not scoring well recently, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. I mean, obviously Saya's injury is one that's going to take a little bit of a toll on the offense, given how he was swinging it and you know where he was hitting in the lineup. But you know, I feel like in general, I totally agree. I felt like you know through the Dodgers series, it felt like our at-bats were really good and we were getting results. And you know, I've seen it a lot of times. Teams go on the West Coast, and you know, for whatever reason, they struggle a little bit. And you know, we've had a number of guys on this trip that just haven't really hit, but yeah, my concern level is zero. It's just, I just think it's a slump on the West Coast. And, you know, fortunately we've been able to win these last three games without scoring a ton. And so, you know, eventually we'll get the offense going and they'll pick up the pitchers a little bit.
You know, actually, I'm sorry. One more thing on Nico. He said that you guys have a swing decision metric. I already forgot what he called it. It was 15 minutes ago, but he said, you know, that swing on the hit that drove in the game winning run, it's going to grade out poorly, but what's it called? What goes into that, basically? Just decisions within the zone?
Yeah, well, it's both, right? You want to make good decisions outside the zone. You want to swing it, you know, not swing at balls. But, like, you know, if you let a 1-0 fastball right down the middle, you let that go, that's a bad decision, right? And I think it's important to recognize both, and that's what we try to do, which is, you want guys to be aggressive in the zone. You want guys to, not be aggressive outside the zone. And so we grade that stuff out. And, I love the fact that he references that because it's something that we, take a lot of pride in. And it's something that I think we've done, a really good job of so far this year. And that just only benefits you as you go, right? You grind down other pitchers, you make good decisions. And I just clicked on it right now. According to how we rank it, we're still, the top team in the National League that way. So it is important to us, and hopefully we can keep on having at-bats like that.
So how's Christopher Morel been doing in that particular metric? Looked real good to start, but I think it's 0 for his last 18. First of all, physically, is he okay? It looked like the finger or the knuckle was an issue, and then 0 for 18 since he hurt it.
Yeah, I don't know if they're, if it's coincidental or not. I think it bothered him a little bit. Obviously, he hit the ball last night really hard and got really unlucky. He could have been a hero last night with that ball he hit to left. But we have a number of guys that have been struggling on this trip. And I think that when you look at Chris, I think he's, below 20% strikeout rate still, which is really good for him. And kind of just a matter of time until he gets hot again.
So we're talking to Jed Hoyer here on The Score, and you mentioned it earlier, and we should talk a little bit more about it. How does this Saya oblique injury, I know it's left v. right, but how does it compare to the last one?
Unclear. I think that it was, last time I think it was more on one swing. This one kind of crept up on us a little bit. He says it wasn't on one swing, but, hopefully he can heal quickly and get back. The time frame last year is a little hard to figure because he did it right before the first spring training game last year, which means he had no buildup. He had no at-bats. And so we had to take it a little bit longer last year with the rehab because he needed a spring training. So the hope is that, ideally he would come back a little quicker than last year's timetable, but yeah, we're going to have to play without him for a little while. And, he was really coming into his own over, really since the middle of last year, and looked great in spring training and looked great at the beginning of the year. And there's no reason to think he won't come back that way. But in the meantime, we have a hole in the lineup that we have to fix.
Obliques can linger and be challenging. Is there anything to learn from the process of getting him back last year for him this year?
Is the other one? Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think we'll be having a lot of debates and a lot of discussions about, sort of what led to it. Cause last year was the other side. And, is there something about how he trains or something about him physically or, something about something we're doing, but yeah, certainly it's something we're going to look at and take seriously. Cause it's the second oblique in the last year. And, we have to make sure we can keep this guy healthy.
Was there any other player you considered other than Canario? Did PCA or Owen Casey hit your mind?
No. I mean, I think, Canario was the right guy. I feel like we need some presence against left-handed pitching. And obviously, Wisdom is a guy who's also in AAA who's rehabbing and on his way back. And hopefully, he can, keep doing what he's doing in Iowa and he can be an option at some point as well. But yeah, Canario was sort of the obvious choice.
So Jed, I know that this,
follow on that. I mean, I do think that's one of the things we're excited about. I think as the year goes on, our hope is that, some of these prospects will feel ready and will make some of those decisions. I think early on in the season, we're probably more likely to rely on the guys on the 40-man roster and let those guys play and let those guys develop. But, at some point, the hope is that when we have that kind of injury, then that can be an opportunity for a prospect that we've been kind of holding off the roster.
We're so used to dealing with, there's all those prospects down there, but you got to be patient. But I don't know if, to your point, what you're saying, this is a year that begs for those guys to get an aggressive call-up if they fit. I mean, we've already seen it with Brown. It's not off the table that we might see who? Shaw, Casey, PCA, any of these guys during the course of the year, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, you have to do the right thing by the player. I think that, clearly rushing guys, I think, can have a negative impact. And obviously, if you do that, they're also not going to help the team, either. So I think we have to be careful with that. But certainly, we have a number of prospects that have spent a lot of time in the minors that have developed. And, I think if they continue to play well, I think that becomes an option. And, you mentioned Ben Brown. I mean, that's we optioned him in spring training and told him, to be the guy when something happened. And unfortunately, you know, five innings into our season, we had the injury to Steele, and he was the obvious guy. So, you know, every day you sort of look at trade rumors or look at the email that goes around with all the roster moves on a given day. And every day there's a good player that gets injured around the big leagues. And sometimes it's your player, and that's just the game, right? You know, if you take any one player off the team and you're not a good team, then that's the fault of your depth. And that's kind of how I try to look at it, that, you know, we have to have, you know, players that can step in for everybody. You don't like to lose anyone, but like, if you do lose them, we have to have the depth to withstand that. And, you know, the Saya injury and the Steele injury, those, and the Merriweather injury, those are good challenges for us as a team early in the season.
All right, so settle a debate for us that we had the day after opening day. Spieg said you guys were definitely having internal conversations about trades. I was like, no, it's way too soon. They won't do that. Who was right?
Yeah, no one really trades that early in the season.
Thank you.
I think it's something you talk about. You kind of ask who's available.
That's what,
like,
I'm saying. You brought it up. You're sitting there talking about it. Whether people are available or not is a different question, Jed.
Sounds like Parkins was right on.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, you always talk about it, but the fact is that in my experience, it's just so unbelievably rare for someone to make a trade in April or even in May. It usually takes a while into the season before any trade of any significance happens. And so usually when you leave spring training, you're thinking this is at least the first 2 or 3 months. This is our group, you know, in the minors and in the big leagues. And the external stuff, you know, other than waiver claims and small things, it takes a while.
See, we have this image of you as the crazy aggressive one in the front office conversations, because last year we brought up to Carter Hawkins down the stretch, have you thought about Cade Horton in relief? He looked at us and he said, who are you, Jed? Like, so we think that you're the guy who's like, well, let's trade for Shane Bieber. It's day two, Jed. We can't do this yet. Right, does that fit your profile, though? Are you a little more aggressive than Carter?
Well, he's very, very long player development background. So I think that, you know, he's always going to take that position, which is great, because, you know, I do think that, you know, like I said, I think there's real damage that can be done if you grab a guy too early. But he would agree. Like, you know, Ben Brown's a guy, certainly you look at him and you think, okay, you give him a bunch of starts in AAA to start the season, but that wasn't an option. And I'm so impressed with how he bounced back after that second inning in Texas that was, you know, he got killed. And then, you know, to bounce back and have three good starts, it shows some real resilience. And that's the kind of experience you just can't get in the minor leagues. And he's getting that, you know, in real time right now, which is wonderful.
We're talking to Jed Hoyer. We've talked to you about Kyle Hendricks so much over the years. And I think you said that he is your favorite player that you've interacted with the Cubs, or that you've never had a negative interaction. Everybody loves him, obviously. Does that make it more difficult when he's struggling, when your job is to be dispassionate and put the best guys out there?
Yeah, I mean, yes, I literally the lowest maintenance employee/teammate I've ever had. He's incredible, you know, and just a joy to be around. And I think you look at his career, I think he's just made the most of what he had over and over and over. And, you know, I feel like he's had his times of struggles in the past and he's gotten through them. And, you know, my hope is that this is another one of those times. You know, I feel like the third time through the order has really bitten him so far this year. And that's something obviously he's going to have to work through. He's also faced, you know, Rangers, Dodgers, Padres, which I think has been a tough slate for him early in the season. But yeah, he's obviously, he would say it, and, you know, he expects more of himself, and, you know, obviously we expect him to pitch well. But I think there's, you know, we have to remember we're three starts into his season. You know, he's got, you know, 29 more probably. So I think that giving him a little bit of leeway and time to work his way through it, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I try to remember over and over that, you know, the things we think about in April and the things that we talk about in April, like, so oftentimes by June, let alone August, seem so remote. So that's hopefully how I'm looking at this, you know, rough three starts that you look up and it was clearly a bad patch, and then he got going again and pitched really well.
It's interesting because Assad has ended up in the rotation, and now Brown has ended up in the rotation. I wondered if Craig Counsell may have been a guy who utilized pitchers in bulk. We'd gotten so used to that as a philosophy, and now we've seen Keegan Thompson with two straight multiple inning appearances. Do you think Craig would have done things differently if he had bulk guys available in the bullpen to this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think to your point, you know, and we've talked about that a lot. Like, we just haven't had those options yet because of the injury to Steele and the injury to Italian. You know, two of the guys that we might have used in those roles have had to, both those guys have had to, you know, pitch in the rotation. So, you know, listen, I hope at some point we get to a place where all of our guys are healthy, and when that happens, we'll have some good but difficult decisions. But I also know well enough to know that, like, we may never get to that point of perfect health, but that's why you build up the depth. But yes, I think if we ever do get to that point, I think that they're probably, there'll be a lot of creative options discussed, because I do think that, you know, in baseball 2024, there's a real risk of just, if every night you're getting 12 outs out of, you know, four different relievers, you do that over and over and over, like, there's just going to be a real negative impact on those guys over time. And so you have to find ways to either get more length out of your starters, or to, you know, use guys in bulk that can take the weight off those guys. So, and you have to still win games while you do that.
So it is Julio Teheran, who's now in the minors, is that a rotation option that would help you have one of those guys as a bulk person in the bullpen? Is that appetizing on that level?
Yeah, that's why you sign a guy like that, is that you know, potentially he could be, you know, put in a role like that. So yeah, that's why. I mean, we was trying to build up as much depth as possible. And like I said, every day someone goes down somewhere in baseball, and you just got to be able to be able to handle it. And I think so far we've handled the injury to Italian and Steele well, but we have to keep expecting, you know, more. And obviously, like you said, like, those Brown and Assad are two good examples. You know, Teheran's a good example of guys I think can help us in bulk.
Would Jed Hoyer like to take this opportunity to say, "I told you so" on Michael Bush?
I don't know. It's April 16th, but I am really, I'm happy for him. You know, I think a guy that, he's in such a great organization with the Dodgers. They had so many bats. You know, he's a guy that, you know, probably in most organizations would have been up, you know, if not all, you know, late in 22 or, you know, all of last year. And, you know, he was in that organization and kind of blocked. And so, you know, I feel really good for him that he's kind of gotten this opportunity. And so far he's run with it. He's had really good at bats. He's homered against some really good pitchers. And hopefully he just continues to build on this. I mean, obviously what he's doing right now is really special, but I think even taking away the power surge, I just think he's conducted really professional at bats all season.
So what's the difference between him and somebody else who has also conquered AAA and doesn't necessarily have it compute to the next level? What's the difference?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to spike the football on Michael Bush. You know, I think that there's a, you know, I do feel like there's, you know, again, we've played, you know, a limited number of games so far to say that. But I do think that, you know, like I said, his decision-making is excellent. And I think that really does go a long way. You know, when you see him take that at bat against Jarvis last night in extra innings and draw that walk, I mean, that's an impressive walk in a big situation to have the calmness to take that pitch below the zone. Those are the kind of takes he's had and the kind of things that we identify that we say that, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons why he should hit in the major leagues. And I think, you know, in baseball now, I think there's a lot, like, the gap between the minors and the big leagues is bigger than ever before. The stuff in the major leagues is so good. And so there are players you're trying to figure out, like, is this guy's performance in the minor leagues going to translate when, you know, all the stuff is better and, you know, everything is magnified. And I do think that the ability to make good decisions is a big part of why it does translate for some guys.
Now you're speaking my language with this spiking of the football. What does Jed Hoyer think of Caleb Williams?
You know, I've only seen him in person once. My son and I saw him play last year at USC, and he was incredible. So I don't know what Ryan's going to do. Who knows if he has a, you know, a trick up his sleeve, but if that's the direction he goes, it's pretty exciting for the franchise. And by the way, like, pretty hard to imagine a better transaction than that trade. You know, when you think about you know, getting DJ Moore and the picks, and also ending up with the number one pick the next year. I mean, that's a plus plus level, and he should be super proud of himself. And hopefully it's a transaction that pays dividends for a long time.
So the interesting strategy here, he's got the number one pick. We'll assume it's going to be Caleb just for the sake of discussion. That's what everyone thinks it's going to be. That's what it's going to be. He also has the ninth pick. Do you protect your asset? Do you give him a fun asset to throw to? Do you go final piece of the defense? If Jed Hoyer had to take over for Ryan Poles for a day, what are you targeting with the ninth pick?
Well, certainly he's the one that knows what he's doing. I just said, like, the original trade was so good. I trust him.
I know. But come on, play fantasy football at a high level. Come on now.
My gut always is just build through the lines. You know, that's always like my gut on these things. Is it's super boring and it doesn't get the excitement on draft day. But ultimately, you know, like to your point of protecting the guy and making sure that you control the line of scrimmage, it just seems like the best teams are built that way. You know,
boring.
But again, it's really boring. But that's the everyone wants skill positions. But you asked my opinion. I gave it to you.
I did.
All right. So two quick follow ups on this. will you ever go the Paul D. Podesta way of trying to run a football team, Jed?
Oh man, yeah. Listen, I think everyone has the thoughts of different sports just because we're all into different sports. But you know, sometimes it's kind of fun. Like in football, I can openly be just a fan, you know. I can just be excited about stuff. Like, I think I'm probably going to try to take one of my sons to the Bulls tomorrow night and hope they win the play-in game. And I just like to be a fan of other sports. Like, this has become, for, you know, whatever, 24 years, this has been what I've worked on in baseball. And, like, I'm never going to get to that level of knowledge in another sport. And sometimes I think it's, even talking about the draft, it's like, Ryan's done this his whole career. I trust that he knows what he's doing. So I think you think about it sometimes, but then you realize that, you know what, other people have done this their whole career and they know what they're doing.
All right. And then the other one, Bill Belichick was at the White Sox game the other day, and we're wondering if he could be a manager. How long would it take Belichick to be a good baseball manager?
Good question.
yeah, I don't know. I don't think he could do it. I mean, I think that, like, when you – No, because I think that, like, he's probably the greatest football mind of all time. I think he's a guy that, you know, is studying at the, you know, with his dad at the Naval Academy when he was a kid. And yep. I think he's broken down film forever and ever and ever. And, like, what he's the best at is seeing the game of football and knowing how to implement it. I bet you he would tell you, like, why do you think I can manage a baseball team? So that'd be my two cents.
All right, bench coach? Bench coach, maybe?
Motivate, whatever the motivator is, yeah. Do your job. Yeah.
Right. Jed, thank you for dealing with our nonsense. We always enjoy talking to you, man.
Always. Thanks, guys. I'll see you.
See you at Wrigley. Yeah, that's Jed Hoyer.
Bill Belichick, bench coach. Just like, hey, Bill, talk to those guys. Go ahead.
I can react to his offensive line thought if you want, but I assume people would be interested more in the Kyle Hendricks answer, the pitching usage answer, the injury stuff with Saya. So there were some things to get into there with Jed Hoyer. We got Pat Tomasulo in an hour. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Parkinson Spiegel Show.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show in Chicago. It's a very, very good show.
Afternoons on the score.
Here's a fly ball, deep right center. This ball's back toward the wall. He's done it again. Michael Busch has tied a Cubs record by homering in his fifth consecutive game. Way out near the 413 sign in deep right center, it took one bounce and I believe landed in that swimming pool that they have out beyond the barrier in right center. What a story this is turning out to be.
Michael Busch, five straight games with a homer. Jed won't spike the ball. That makes sense. The league hasn't adjusted to him yet. He'll find holes in his swing. He'll go through slumps. Early returns, obviously, very, very positive. What was your biggest takeaway from the conversation with Jed?
I thought the answer and the whole conversation about Kyle Hendricks was really interesting. And I thought we rightly ended up connecting it to the need for bulk arms in the bullpen, because I don't think Craig Counsell would have been piecemealing it the way that he has over these first couple weeks, an inning here, inning there, inning here, inning there with five or six different people every day. I don't think that's his ideal of what he wants to do. So I think Hendricks is going to get a longer leash than some fans might want or expect, and it's not just going to be because of the soft factors of his pedigree and reputation. It's going to be because, you know, if it's a decision of taking Hendricks or Assad out of the rotation, it's going to be Assad so he can be a bullpen piece.
So
it's my gut.
I agree with you. He said, before I could even do the follow-up on, so how long is the leash? I set him up with the, like, what's the sentiment? Is it hard to remove sentiment on Hendricks when I know that that's Jed's favorite player on the Cubs through his time here? And he acknowledged it, but he said, he's going to make 27 more starts. That's what he said in the first answer.
Yeah.
That's how they're treating it. That's not a guy that's two or three starts away from losing his spot in the rotation if the president of the team is saying he's going to make 27 more starts.
No, that's a fifth starter who you know is going to be out there. Maybe he's a four sometimes or whatever,
yeah,
but maybe that's your...
Maybe there's a quick hook. We will not let him go a third time through the order.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe
one of those Dodgers games, he was great the first two times, and then the third time got to him. So maybe they'll do that every once in a while. They'll piggyback him with somebody.
And wasn't it the Padres game, right, where it got away from him late? The early stuff was pretty weak contact. It was you know, a little squib shot here, a jam shot here. So the early stuff was pretty bad luck from Hendricks. So I think that obviously the hopeful nature that it will not take 6 weeks on Saya is a headline for people, that they're hopeful it won't take that long because he had a spring training.
Well, that certainly was the other thing that came out of it. I thought the way, like, yeah, he needed a spring training, but yeah, I mean, I didn't even hear that as that hopeful. I know he used the word hopeful, but I heard that, and I think Saya's out a month. I think Saya's out a month easy.
Hey, man, that's less than 6 weeks.
It is. But I mean, he might not swing for a month, and then maybe it's, you know, 3-4 games of a rehab, and then so it's 4.5 weeks or 5 weeks or something like that. It's going to be a little while.
The honesty of also, we've got to figure it out, and if there's something about how he works out, performs, whatever, that makes him susceptible to oblique injuries, because now it's been a left and a right. Once it felt like it was on a single swing, this feels like it's more of a deterioration or a compiling thing for him. Saya's a uniquely shaped ball player.
He's super strong. It's
crazy strong. Crazy strong legs. But he's kind of...
He's thick.
He's stocky.
Yeah, he is. And he's got... He comes preloaded and pre-trained with a very different kind of workout regimen and training regimen that Nico has talked to us about, that other people have talked about. Saya does a lot of, like, very slow movement strength exercises. You know, there's a lot of different techniques that Japanese ball players have learned and trained on, and, you know, not and perhaps his desire to be as strong as he clearly is. And obviously it leads to hitting the ball really damn hard, that there might be something in there that does need some review.
Yeah, there was a lot in there. This team, man, they're good. They're good. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of depth. They have a lot of options. He was pretty candid, too, about the Canario thing. No, we didn't consider anybody else.
Yeah.
Like, I do think that is almost like standard operating procedure of, hey, this is early. We build the team. And that doesn't mean just the 26-man roster. It means the AAA club, the AA club, the reinforcements.
Canario almost made the team.
Right. April, May, not for trades. Hopefully it works out. Like, to what Nico was talking to us about an hour ago, we learn things about guys, what roles they can have. We see something from Ben Brown. We see something from this guy. We see something from that guy. And then when you get more guys back healthy, it goes. My concern is it just maybe you're the unlucky injury team this year. Like, obviously, hopefully you could be bad luck in April and have a clean July and August and you'll take it. It's later in the season, whatever. But baseball's a game of injuries. It's a game of attrition. This rate is not sustainable in terms of the key players that they can lose. He's not going to speak to that concern, but just objectively, they cannot have this many injuries at this high of a clip. It can't happen.
Well, as long as Michael Bush keeps homering every night.
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll see if he can tonight, by the way. We just gave away a pair of tickets, right?
Yeah.
Because we heard the Michael Bush there. So
see?
Two more pairs of tickets. Be listening for Michael Bush homers. When you hear him, be the fifth caller because he's got five in a row at 312-540-0670. Tonight it could be six. The Cubs continue their road trip against the Diamondbacks. Pre-game coverage begins at 8:05 with Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer on the call. First pitch, 8:40. You can listen to every game. Every Cubs game in Chicagoland with a free Odyssey app.
33 different people have homered in six straight games in Major League Baseball history. Most recently, Mike Trout in 2022.
He's good.
The record is 8. I remember when Don Mattingly set that record when I was a kid, like 87. And then Ken Griffey Jr. Tied it in 1993. I don't remember that as much because I was enjoying all of Chicago in my 20s had to offer.
You were high is what you're saying.
That is what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah,
that,
I gotcha.
That checks out.
I was able to decode that mystery.
Your logic checked out very well.
you were speaking.
I was either bartending or high.
Yeah.
At that time.
Often.
Yeah.
Simultaneously.
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
Oh, no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't have those kind of skills.
I get it. Did you have bartender tricks? Would you throw bottles?
No, I wasn't like Tom Cruise in Cocktail.
Yeah.
It's not me. No.
That's a fun movie.
Thank you, Daniel Norris.
But
I appreciate
it. Not a spin, not a signature drink? Did you hold the bottle opener like off, on your hip?
Oh, that would have been cool. Yeah, no. I hated that job. Oh,
of course. Sounds like a terrible job.
Just freaking horrendous. Because I was doing it at this place called Otis's on Halstead and Webster. Quarter beer night. Quarter beer in little Dixie cups.
That doesn't lead to good tips.
Oh, no. Like, hey, let me get three. Here's a dollar.
Yeah, awesome.
I can do that, man.
Thank you so much.
That's great.
Or can I have 12 beers for $3 and never come back to the bar?
And just so much wetness everywhere. People are drinking beers like that. They only cost a quarter. They're not inclined to worry if they spill it.
Oh, no, like, I threw a beer at someone again.
Oh, no. Here, let me try to shove it all the way down the bar. Oh, it spilled. That guy will clean it up. I was that guy. Sucked. Thanks for asking.
I bet you Shane and Tanny liked Jed saying he would draft a lineman with the ninth pick in the draft.
Yeah, it's funny, right? Guy whose opinion you respect universally on everything, all of a sudden says a smart thing, and what's not right here in this situation?
Yeah, I guess I disagree.
Super boring.
Yeah.
Jed likes to do it. He was digging in on the draft with Chris and I.
He was?
Yeah.
No, we have our consultants. We're not allowed to say who they are.
Oh, sorry. One of them is Jed.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no. Wait. No, it wasn't.
I love him flatly saying that Bill Belichick could not be a baseball manager.
He's wrong, by the way.
Yeah, he's probably wrong.
He's wrong.
I don't know.
He's probably wrong.
If he had a coaching staff full of people who knew the baseball stuff that he didn't know.
Well, yeah, that's the assumption. The assumption isn't that, like, that Rex Ryan would be his pitching coach.
Well, now we're getting somewhere. Now I'm interested. Maybe
he's
Mangenius.
The base running coach for the feet.
Mangenius, maybe. We can get Mangini in there.
Yeah.
You hung out with Mangini, didn't you?
I did. I hung out with Mangini. He was at Nick's wedding over the weekend. Had a good Eberflus conversation with Mangini.
He loves the flus. He's enthusiastic.
He's very enthusiastic.
Not surprised.
Yeah, he's a big flus guy.
Uh-huh.
We have some audio that sheds a light on dysfunction and hilarity next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Twitch and YouTube wants to see Whitey.
Come on over here, Whitey. Say hello.
What's up, Windy City?
Afternoons on The Score.
What's successful for you?
I mean, I think we've got to earn the trust of our fans back. We've got to establish some credibility.
Hold on before you dig in. Isn't that what Rick said? Or didn't Rick say that last year? We have to earn the trust back. And I understand you're different than Rick, and it's a new regime. You did both go to Michigan, though. Trust me, I'm sure you guys are both talking for Michigan football. I understand. But didn't that what Rick said last year, and then last year happened, right?
So that is when AJ Pierzynski had Chris Getz on and challenged him on repeating the same Rick Hahn talking points memos.
I mean, AJ's always been saucy since he was a player. Been feisty and a needler, but he's really getting saucy as a commenter and an interviewer, isn't he, these days?
Yeah, and on the White Sox specifically, I was like, damn, he goes hard for an ambassador, for an employee of the team.
Yeah, and for a guy who was in rumors to maybe get an interview for manager, and he gave super respectful quotes about Jerry and the whole org at that time.
Well, maybe there's a bit of a reason. On Foul Territory today, they had Chuck Garfine on, so you heard a reference to Chuck. That's who you're talking about. But A.J. Pierzynski, not as much with the team.
All right, Chuck, so here's the deal. You say he didn't pick the players, but no minor league coordinator picks the players, and every other team has developed guys. So, that excuse might fly for White Sox fans, but they haven't developed anybody. I mean, Colson Montgomery is supposed to be coming, right? He finally hit a Triple-A home run the other night, and it was like the Red Sea parted again, right? Because he has struggled in Triple-A so far, right? Noah Schultz is supposed to be coming, right? I mean, I haven't heard much about him. They got, Nastrani pitching tonight, right? He's supposed to be their other big prospect guy. But the other thing is, like, I like Andrew Vaughn, but he hasn't happened to a point where you're like, oh, wow, he's a third overall pick. He's been okay, but this year has been a struggle, which I get it's early. But, you know, it's just like you look at the names and you're like, man, and this wasn't even going to be my question. But now that, you know, you brought it up, it's like, okay, I get it. And I no longer work for the White Sox because of this exact conversation we're having. But the facts are the facts. Like every other – like my whole point has been, listen, I like Chris Getz. I played with Chris Getz, you know, whatever. But – every other team finds a 20th round pick that's like, oh man, we developed this guy. You can blame coaches, you can blame draft, but everybody, once you get past about the 10th round, everyone's like, oh, we'll take him, he'll sign, we'll take. It's not like you're like, oh man, in the 13th round, we're going to steal a first rounder. So, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I don't know. I'm kind of fed up with the Rick and Kenny excuse. I'm kind of fed up with the, oh, we didn't draft right, excuse, because they've switched scouting directors in the middle of that. Let's not forget, it's not the same guy doing all the drafting, right? They've switched everything, and the results are only worse. And listen, they should have just come out and said, hey, we're going to suck this year. And everyone would have been like, okay. But they're like, no, we're going to try and compete instead. They're like, no, we're going to be good. You're awful.
I think there was a question in there. I'm not sure.
Oh, there wasn't.
There wasn't. You're here to listen to my takes. Yeah, well, my kind of interviewing.
I mean, AJ was processing right there. AJ was processing some stuff. No longer works for the organization because of this conversation. So whether it's a question or not, it's clear that his doubting of Chris Getz publicly on Foul Territory, that's what he's implying, that led to his lack of working for the White Sox.
So we've called him. We want to get him on to clarify some things, because that is what it sounds like, that the public criticism or questioning led to that. But I want to know, like, right after the interview, before the season, how did they tell you? Is he pissed about that?
Man.
You know, because like that's pretty soft. If that cross-examination of Chris Getz led to them firing AJ Pierzynski as ambassador.
Are you calling the White Sox thin-skinned organization?
I know that they're famously thin-skinned. Man. They're elite at being thin-skinned. But that would be a pretty public thing. AJ Pierzynski is one of the most popular White Sox players of the last 20 years.
Yeah, who has clearly, over the last few years, been towing a line, as we were discussing, of trying to be honest and critical but respectful.
Who also has the coolest digital media property in baseball? Am I missing one that's bigger than Foul Territory?
John Boy.
Okay.
I'd say John Boy, but I mean it's
but you know what I mean? Like, that's a valuable asset to the White Sox.
He's got an incredible digital media presence as a former player. A whole bunch of former players are now trying to launch things. AJ has it built out extremely well. And understandably so. Yeah, that's jarring. And here's the thing. There is a little bit of confusion in there, in my opinion. Rick and Kenny, we know, bad at developing scouting drafting. Nick Hostetler, bad at drafting. Mike Shirley, who's now the guy since, I think it's 2020 or 21, better. Little bit better. So there's some cleanup that is going on at the very, very low levels that might portend some decent things. But AAA is a mess. AA is a mess. And Getz being in charge of all of that is completely worth being critical and cynical about. But it's a little more complicated. And I like some of the people that Getz has brought in, all of it. So it's not quite as black and white, like Getz built that, he sucks, and now he's in charge, he sucks. Like maybe he is trying to make some turns and there could be blah, blah, blah. And there's all of that to go in there.
Oh, all that is fair perspective and nuance and all of that that maybe AJ Pierzynski lacked, but that could be a phone call about sharing perspective.
That's what I'm saying.
And not firing, you're no longer our ambassador.
Your job...
Like missing that degree of nuance, if they think his commentary was 10 or 20% unfair, mm-hmm. that's not worth severing ties with AJ Pierzynski over.
Yeah, your job as a steward of the organization, if you're unhappy with it, or Chris Getz, if you're unhappy with it, is to make sure that AJ gets the delineation or the context or the education, however you want to feel it, necessary. You don't, if this is indeed what happened, you don't burn a bridge and then watch the refuge fall from the burning bridge and say, oh, what happened?
What happened to my bridge?
What happened to my bridge? Oh, that's right, I burned it. It's a bad idea.
Hmm. Okay.
I mean, if I'm going to go through the effort of burning a bridge, I'm going to watch it fall.
Dude, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes right? It feels pretty good.
Like when the left drove that cargo ship into the bridge in Baltimore, I'm sure they sat there and watched it fall.
This guy.
Just got real.
This guy over here.
Just got real.
This guy over here.
I was near
fun
it.
Conspiracy theories.
Anytime that you reference a bridge these days, you start thinking about that one. Yep. And it gets...
Yeah.
Really dangerous.
Things happen.
Yeah. I'm going to get our pizza.
Yeah!
Rinaldi's. It's where it's all happening.
They're hosting me and Ben Kaplan tonight at Rinaldi's Lincoln Park starting around 6 o'clock. They're going to have some tables set up, and we're just going to be hanging out, drinking beer, eating pizza. And we'll have a couple of boxes of Pipeline to the Pros to sell to people if they want to buy it in person and not do it through, you know, Amazon or the big websites. You can come out, buy it in person. We'll sign it for you. We'll talk about the book, or we'll talk about Caleb Williams or whatever the hell else you want to do. But it's just a hang. Like, there's no, I'm not, no book reading or anything like that, but it's just go to a bar, hang out.
Now, if people bring a book, will you read it?
I'll read your book.
If they buy a book, but they bring another book they just want you to read.
If they open a voice memo and say, I'd like you to be the voice of the audio version of this book, would you please read the entire book now?
I'd like you to read Dan McNeil's book of sports lists.
There you go.
Oh. Yeah, I'd be happy to do it.
Now, that's a great idea. Why did you hire Mac to be the voice of your audio book?
I wasn't given the option.
Hey, this is great. Okay. So when Sam Presti.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's right up Mac's alley.
This whole chapter's about pop. Right, exactly.
He just loves the NBA so much. Uh-huh. He's such a fan of it.
God, I can't wait to read about Altman.
A real page turner.
Yeah. You've gotten everybody to take a picture of the book and put it out there on the social medias. It's impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Shea Serrano did it today.
He did, right? On the
Twitter.
Shea
Serrano. That's a big one.
Called you the homie.
Did.
I didn't know you were homies.
Yeah, a little text relationship.
That's cool. Wow.
Yeah, a little text relationship. We go back. I've never met the man in person, but a little offline, off air relationship. Know a few of the same people. He was the inspiration for when people were Venmoing me money at the start of COVID and flipping it around to people. Shea Serrano gave away a ton of money.
I couldn't believe you were asking people for money during COVID. I thought that was a little.
I was giving it away.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Just Fauci. He just went right to Fauci.
I was being a middleman for people. Shea was the inspiration for that. So yeah, very, very, very
cool. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, like Shea Serrano.
Yeah, I thought his basketball and other things book that was the one that I haven't read the whole thing, but I've read lots of it. And it's really
basketball and other things is awesome. Movies and other things is awesome.
I haven't read that one.
That one's spectacular. And then he has hip hop and other things, but I did not read that one either. But the basketball one and the movies.
You should get that for Tanny as a thoughtful gift. Hip hop and other
have
things.
Have you read it?
As a book?
I have not, but I do enjoy his work on the topic, yes.
You would love that. I mean, his books are so fun, man. They are just, the Stardom Cannot Finish Them. The illustration's incredible.
You can finish them.
you can't put it down until you finish. You can't put it down until
get lost in the book. I started this. I can't finish it, though. I just all can't, right. No matter what I do.
All right.
I was just thinking you could like choose to get Tanny that gift as a thoughtful one, and then he could just leave it in the studio for the next 3 years, you know?
Yeah, no, Tanny gets no more gifts, only money.
And then Pat McGann.
Dang it.
Pat McGann can choose not to take it home when we offer
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and I was glad he didn't. Like, there was a moment where I was like, you better not take that. I love Pat, but it brings me joy here at the office, and it's a conversation piece. I don't want Pat taking that.
Wow.
I would have let him because it's Pat McGann, but I asked Shane. I was kind of like, watch Pat over there.
Speak
security.
Up. Speak
yeah,
up next
speak
time.
Up. Danny would have
nah,
loved to know that you.
I wouldn't crush the bit like that.
Danny would have loved to know that you cared about his gift, only if it was here as something you leave behind.
That would have been a nice consolation prize of my own gift. People were like, oh, is that Jed question about football satisfying the polls position requirements?
No.
No. We're going to do polls position about trading down because
no.
Big-time insiders are saying it's going to happen next on The Score.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.